Storms of Life.
Welcome to America Tonight. This is Kate Delaney, broadcasting coast to coast and all those spots in between. A lot of those spots I used to live in, the so-called flyover states. Hoping you're all well as you sit back and enjoy this version of ATN. Remember, I don't care about your stripes, left, right, or somewhere in between. It's about opinions, and I hope you have them, because I can feel the frustration out there. So why not voice them? 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. It was all about Obama and his time to turn the page, officially announcing it is the end of the Iraq combat mission. In his own words, here's what the Prez said from the Oval Office.
I am announcing that the American combat mission in Iraq has ended. Operation Iraqi Freedom is over, and the Iraqi people now have lead responsibility for the security of their country. Our combat mission is ending, but our commitment to Iraq's future is not. As we wind down the war in Iraq, we must tackle those challenges at home with as much energy and grit and sense of common purpose as our men and women in uniform who have served abroad.
All right, what he's talking about tackling at home is the economy, the sluggish economy. So he segued into almost taking a page out of America Tonight for all of you with ADD into something completely different and talking about what ails us in the United States. And it's the unemployment and the stock market having its worst August since, you know, 2001. You put it all together, crunch it in the same blender, and it's the fear of that double-dip recession. But here's my question. Has the Iraq mission overall been a success? If you had to do a post-mortem on this, if you had to do the Monday morning quarterback thing, how would you term this? As this mission is at an end, was it worth it? In the end, was it worth it, and was it a success? I think of the success question, we don't know that answer. We don't know that answer until we see what the government there does. Does it turn to crap and chaos, or does it somehow survive and thrive? If it thrives, and the answer clearly is it was a success, if people get to vote and they're not being killed in the streets and there's not discord between the three major factions there, if things have somehow advanced beyond that, and the government truly stands on its own, and the police force does what it's supposed to do, and so does the military in Iraq, then absolutely that's a success, no matter how you slice that. Now, was it worth it? That's a completely different question. The money spent, the lives lost, the initial reason for being in Iraq, and all the blowback over WMD and Saddam Hussein. So the was it worth it question, a tad different. You know the numbers again, jingle them, 800-259-5791. I'm going to seg into this quickly here at the top, because now since we have our eyes on what's going on with Earl, right now what's being projected is possibly 40-foot waves. It went from 20, so now you multiply that up to 40. I'd say that's pretty severe, and if I lived in one of those North Carolina coastal areas, I'd be packing it up and heading for someplace else temporarily. In fact, in some spots in North Carolina, the visitors and the people who live on, like, Ocracoke off the island, they want them done, gone by 5 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, worried as to what's going to happen with Earl. Remember, it's not an exact science, although it's much better than predicting what's going to happen in a tornado, because you really don't get any time in a tornado. You can watch the weather patterns in a hurricane. And I think even though people do get hurricane weary, I would heed this one if I were anywhere on the Outer Banks? Because you're talking about winds that could be up to 130 miles an hour, even bigger than that, depending on what the brunt of the force is once it brushes by. And I wouldn't take the chance there. I think it's smart to order more people to get out of the way. I wouldn't weather that storm. I would simply go away for a day or two and then come back, because what's the harm? And certainly, in most circumstances, with whatever job the residents are doing there, that's a sick day. Are you going to stay open? Well, we've been ordered to be evacuated, so we're leaving town. So probably thousands of people are affected by the decision to be evacuated. And I think it's a smart move. There's no reason to take that chance, because whatever happens with Earl, it's probably going to be pretty quick. So it's not a lingering kind of thing. And Earl was about 130 miles northeast of Grand Turk Island, a place that I've been to, really small island that could have gotten beat up, and south-southeast of Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. This is all info from the National Hurricane Center. You know, they hold court in Miami, and that was as of just a short while ago, and, you know, 2 hours ago. And at that point, we were talking about 135-mile-an-hour winds. So the Cape Lookout National Seashore in North Carolina said, yeah, we're gonna tell everybody, forget it, that we just need to close this park down. And we need to do that because it's too risky, and we're starting at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So you have Earl on the path, follow the bouncing ball, to slam into the U.S. ahead of Labor Day, which, how crazy is that? Could there be a more jam-packed holiday for the beach? It's Labor Day, because nobody wants to leave, especially if they do the weekend thing, or maybe it's the last hurrah to go to the beach somewhere. There's going to be people that are just going to be turned away, and that's, you know, or if they're getting started with their vacation, so sorry, you're going to have to go someplace else at least for a while. It's not worth it, because you see those trees bending back, and you've seen the pictures of other hurricanes if you've never been in one, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. I probably have told this story too many times, and I don't want to beat a bunch of dead horses here, but I went through Hurricane Agnes when I was really, really small, and it did have an impact on me because we had to weather the storm. So we were in a shore house off of a bay, and the bay then connected to, there was an inlet, and then it went out to the ocean, and pretty much that hurricane was brutal. It slammed into Pennsylvania, slammed into South Jersey, washed away our deck, slammed up against the windows, and sunk a boat that we had that was out there, and that was the end of the sailboat, let's just say. It was terrible. Devastation. And there were people in the streets on kayaks and whatnot. So in a way, we got away lucky because the house was fine, but the entire dock blew away. It was just lumber. And you could see that in the water the next day. You know, the sun's out, it's over with, and that's it. That's what will happen in North Carolina. It'll be terrible. It'll pound the Outer Banks, and then it blows over, and you just look out and come back, and you see the debris scattered all over the place. Stay with us. We've just scratched the surface.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kits start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com. windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The summer specials are here. Colloidal silver, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, glucosamine, chondroitin, super male plex and female plex, memory power, colon enhancer, and more, all on sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Visit herbalhealer.com now for big summer savings on longevity products like HGH, resveratrol, colloidal minerals, and hundreds of natural health products. Herbal Healer Academy has been a global leader of safe, natural medicine, providing natural supplements, correspondence courses, informative newsletters with ongoing research information to our members since 1988. Sign up for free online newsletters and don't miss McCain's 3-point plan for health at the Herbal Healer Academy website, herbalhealer.com. Find natural ways for weight loss, plus men's, women's, and children's health products, and our famous top-selling 4-herb tea. The testimonials are incredible! And so are the summer specials at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
The page on the Iraq mission, and while people are listening to me in North Carolina, packing up, getting ready to skedaddle because they're worried about what's going to happen with this hurricane, we move on to what some are saying about the president's speech. I would say he started off, if I was just analyzing the speech itself, to be honest, folks, I would say the beginning part was pretty strong, and it was an interesting twist when he segued into the economy, and then it kind of just petered out, just fell out. You know, they say start strong, have a decent story, and then finish with a punch. Somehow really didn't finish with a punch. So, but I think it was interesting to go into the economy, to rebuild our nation here at home. That was the theme. And turn this page. So the last full U.S. combat brigade actually left Iraq 2 weeks ago, but he waited to mark the end of the combat mission until Tuesday. And the reason is because the deadline was what he announced in February, so he did it without declaring victory, too. We knew that was going to happen. There's going to be no, this is, we have a victory here, none of that. And talking about Iraq's security was in the hands of their own people and that the advance had come at a huge price for the U.S. That's pretty much was the gist of that. So there was none of that. There was the praising of the troops, but nothing about a victory, nothing about a win. And as I said, how do you know if it's a success? Well, you don't know right away. Even the generals who are trying to spin positive are saying the same thing. So then you ask yourself this question, is the mission really over? Is it really over? I mean, if really chaos ensued, would we be right back there again? Because the troops who were supporting the infrastructure in many cases of Baghdad and Iraq and some of the other areas, we know we're going to have a lot of State Department people there. So would boots go back? Would a lot of boots go back if something horrific happened? I'd have to think that that's what would happen, even though that's not what's being said. Now, Obama's pledge to end the war is what pushed him into office. We know that. Remember, he'd get huge cheers from people who said, forget this Iraq situation, every place that he went when it was brought up and in all the debates. So now he's reassuring that whole thing that this is it. It's, you know, this bloodshed's not in vain, and that's it. And he was careful not to repeat anything about mission accomplished. Remember, that was the faux pas of Bush when he was on the aircraft carrier in 2003, and the Democrats forever hung that on him when there was that giant banner that read mission accomplished. So he was careful not to say anything about the victory, a win, any of that kind of stuff. Nothing. He didn't. He just said it was the end, and he talked about the troops and saying that some would stay to help train the forces to still finish that up, but that's the end of combat. We are done with it. So as we look back, here's what John Boehner had to say about the situation in Iraq and moving forward.
The president must do more to emphasize his commitment to ensuring its success rather than focusing on an arbitrary deadline for withdrawal. The president must take the time to articulate in a coherent, consistent manner to the families and fellow citizens the cause, the purpose, and the goal of this mission.
All right, the cause, the purpose, and the goal, the mission, talking about Afghanistan at the tail end there. Clearly, while this mission is over, Afghanistan is far from over. And that's another dance, dancing around what's at hand there. It had to be a serious blow to the administration when earlier in the week you had Hamid Karzai bloativating all over the place that he wasn't happy with civilian losses and what was going on with the strategy with the United States while praising Germany. I can't imagine what those private conversations were like in the Oval Office. If we could just be a fly on the wall, I'm sure there were a lot of people at both the White House and at the Pentagon that were not happy with that response from Karzai, who also had a problem with the fact that it came out about the CIA paying off one of his lead men pretty much to spy on him. But what information was being pumped back? Wouldn't you like to know that? So when we talk about Afghanistan, General Petraeus is the guy on the ground now. He talked about the frustrations and also what a lot of Americans cannot stand about what's happening in Afghanistan and in other places are the stoning deaths. So here's his take on that.
The Taliban recently stoned a couple to death and then in another case flogged a pregnant woman before assassinating her. So I don't think they want to return to that. It is very, very understandable that there would be impatience and a desire to see progress right now.
Yeah, progress, because it's been almost a decade. And because of the latest things that have now come out of Afghanistan, the WikiLeaks stuff and the names that were released in so many of those documents, and then this whole thing with the CIA, how I think frightening is that? It's just revealing what many of us suspected. And it goes to the dirty election with Karzai getting in, so he's got 6 years. And to what end can this guy run Afghanistan without the Taliban? I'm not buying it. I think he's trying to play both ends to the middle, and he's into corruption up to his elbows. But now this is the guy that's at the dance, so what are they going to do with him? And the answer is he's staying. At least for now, Karzai's staying, and I don't see any bounce to that. So the vagueness on Afghanistan continues. And I feel for the families who are making the ultimate sacrifices by their family again and again going through deployments and watching and praying that their husband, their son, their father come back from Afghanistan. Or, you know, certainly there are women over there too. Same thing, just reverse the roles. But how frightening is it when you keep seeing the trickle of info that comes out, much to the chagrin of the government, and it's nothing but the opposite of what's being sold on Afghanistan. So even people who were backing the whole idea of what we needed to do in Afghanistan, what needed to happen, what about the Taliban, what about Al-Qaeda, stamp it out, all that sort of stuff, are very weary of what they're now seeing. And a lot of people have switched their opinions on whether or not to hold ground there. At this point, there's no way the administration, they're just going to try to run and duck for cover. There's no way that they're going to back out of Afghanistan because of what's been invested there and because there is no clear-cut direction. So it's like deja vu all over again. Sadly. Sadly, that's what that's about. All right, in the meantime, besides Afghanistan and Iraq, and was it worth it, and, you know, ultimately, will we ever be back in Iraq to try to help them pull the pieces together should something break apart? In other words, Pandora's box gets ripped open and the Kurds and the Shias and the Sunnis go at it again. I don't know that it'll go back to that point. I don't think they'll take those three steps backwards. But I don't know how much forward they're going to go. There are certainly some problems that are starting to emerge. There's no question about it. None whatsoever. All right, coming up on the flip side, we have another version of We Can Count. And We Can Count, as you know, in some way, whatever stories we relate in the segment, relate to numbers. And boy, we've got some interesting stuff to talk about, including an incredible debut by a pitcher who hit some pretty high marks when it comes to speed. You want to talk about a fastball? I got a Reds pitcher for you that has blown him away, and we'll see if he can match some of those records. I love, not the tail of the tape when you measure the home runs, although that can be kind of cool. I like the gun when they measure how fast that ball is hammering down on those hitters. So we're going to tell you about that next. Stay with us here on America Tonight.
If you're in a service business, that's money ringing in your ears. If your phone's not ringing, chances are it's a problem with your marketing. Landscapers, painters, roofers, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, handymen. Anyone with a residential service business can build a huge and loyal customer base fast with the Magic Yellow Flyer. No more expensive newspaper, yellow pages, or internet pay-per-click ads. The Magic Yellow Flyer will have new customers calling you within 1 week. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. And the Magic Yellow Flyer comes with an outrageous one-year guarantee. You will get new customers or your money back. For details, go to MagicYellowFlyer.com. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
How do you spell hard-hitting talk radio?
G-C-N.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209. And the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is George Whitehurst Berry. As an avid outdoorsman doing professional photography in some of the most remote regions of the American Southwest, I swear by the Gusset Clothing Company. Diamond Gusset jeans are the jeans I've been looking for years. The unique gusset design, a technological breakthrough, was inspired by the needs of martial arts masters for more freedom of movement in their workouts. Diamond Gusset jeans are the most rugged, durable, flexible, and comfortable on planet Earth. Timeless style and good looks with rugged, superior quality made in USA cotton, superior weaving techniques, more stitches per inch, and higher quality standards go into every jean the Gusset Clothing Company makes before they proudly put on the label Made in USA. Buy American at GussetClothing.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T clothing.com. When you buy Gusset Clothing, put the word CRASH in the coupon code to receive free shipping.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
I mentioned this on a previous show, and we're starting with it here on We Can Count. How long till the violence in Mexico spreads to some of the tourist towns? Cancun, you don't get any more touristy than that. Hello, spring break. At least 8 people were killed. A group of men tossed a Molotov cocktail, a couple of them, into a bar in a very touristy area. And a touristy bar in Cancun. So 6 to 8 guys went in and threw these homemade bombs. They killed 6 women and 2 men who were inside. They don't really know the motive for the attack, but the bar was reportedly the victim of some extortion attempts, and that was by the Zetas, that drug cartel, the drug cartel that killed those 75 people the other day. And this happened, you know, it's like 1 in the morning. Tourists go there. And a lot of times you'll have bars where you mix them, the locals and the tourists. The names of the victims so far haven't been released. There were apparently tourists in the bar, but it doesn't look like any of those killed were tourists. These Zetas, though, I don't think they care who they hit. The intention there was to shake up the bar and say, hey, you don't want to pay the money? Then we're going to show you what we can do. So far, more than 28,000 people have died in drug-related violence, scary statistic, since 2006. And a lot of it is due to the Zetas. Man. All right, on to a happier note. There's a kid in Cincinnati. He's a pitcher. He threw against the Brewers, and he was perfect in his debut with the Reds on Tuesday. Here's what was interesting, because I'm all about speed. He was clocked at 102 miles an hour during his perfect inning, the reliever. And the Reds added to their lead in the NL Central, thanks in part by that performance by beating the Brew Crew 8-4. Chapman is his name, and he's a Cuban defector. There's a lot of good Cuban baseball players, and it looks like you can add his name to the list. I mean, talk about busting the radar. I think pretty much that's what he did there, 102. That's pretty sweet. And it was a fastball, man, clocked right down the middle. There are a lot of people that are looking for relievers that can deliver that kind of stuff. If you're shopping for a car, you're in the minority. I happened to see these numbers earlier in the day. U.S. auto sales in August were the slowest for the month in 28 years. 28 years. The model year closeout deals didn't work. They didn't entice consumers because the economy is worsening. At least many people believe that. And so many people are losing jobs or think they could lose their jobs. Industry-wide deliveries, they'll be released later in the day, have reached an annualized rate of 11.6 million vehicles all-inclusive right this month. The average of eight analyst estimates that have been compiled by Bloomberg, I think, put the numbers together. So it's the slowest August since 1982. Whoa. That would be 18% below last year's 14.2 million pace. And that's when, of course, the cash for clunkers was going on, which was the clunker in the end. So consumers aren't even going to the showrooms. It's that it's worry about the double dip recession. You can see it if you drive by a lot of the dealerships. Not a lot of people selling cars. I mentioned this in a previous hour of America Tonight. If you are shopping for a car, like you're doing the internet thing, and you start to send your name out there and your number, beware, because you will be hounded, my friends. Hounded. All right, let's go to our pal Don, who's listening to us in Wyoming. Hey, Don, how are you?
Hey, Kate, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. What about you?
I don't know. Buzzing on down the road. Hey, it's interesting you bring up these points about the economy and people not buying cars. Kate, I'm just starting to wonder, I've always just believed that, well, eventually things are up, down, up, down, up, down. That's what it always has been in a capitalistic system, you know.
Right.
But I'm starting to wonder if we're going to be able to rebound from this. I mean, you know, Obama's done, what, $1.5 trillion in debt every year that he's been in there. And of course, before he got in there, we were already up to around $11 trillion in debt. And I just don't, you know, I'm just starting to wonder if that's starting to play, if it's starting to be a factor in the fact that our economy is not rebounding. And, you know, if we're talking about, you know, switching out presidencies in 2 years and, you know, changing out Congress this coming year, okay, well, so what are the Republicans going to do? Are they going to go back to, you know, giving tax credits to the, you know, keeping the Bush tax credits in there? Well, Bush ran up $500 billion a year in debt every year he was in the presidency.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's kind of like none of them want to be fiscally responsible to have a balance. I think the last time we had it was when Clinton was in there. And, of course, he did it by just cutting back on the military. And, you know, now look at when we see our guys are in Humvees that don't have proper armor, you know, you wonder, well, gee, is that a result of the Clinton presidency? But in any case, though, I don't know, Kate, if it, you know, and then I got this thing off the, my dad gave it to me off the internet, something off of the Kipling link. Or however you say that word, Kiplinger letter.
Kiplinger,
And they're talking on January 1st. I don't know if people know this or not, but taxes are going up. The Bush tax cuts will expire.
Right.
And it's not just the rich taxes that are going up. Everybody, every tax bracket is going to go up almost at least 5%.
You're right.
I mean, even the poor, the people that are making less than $20,000 a year or whatever, you know, $10 an hour, they're going to go from 10 to 15%.
I know.
You know, and so, and then that's, and this is, I And that's not even talking about the things that are going to be done. To, at least two out of every three small businesses in America make over $250,000 a year. So their taxes are going way up because they're not going to have the Bush tax cuts anymore. And, you know, and you just look at this, Kate, and it's like, okay, we're all going to be paying. And this is, they want taxes to go up in the time when the economy's not moving forward. You know, I mean, I'm just starting to wonder how we're going to get out of this mess. If there's ever going to be an answer or a cure to it, you know, is there ever going to be an answer to paying down the national debt? I don't know.
No, I agree with you. I the doom and gloom that I can hear in your voice, I think a lot of people are feeling that same frustration. I'm just as frightened as you are. And for those reasons, I don't think people realize what they're going to get slammed with. And you bring up the tax increases, and people just keep thinking, oh, I don't make $250,000, so it's not going to affect me. But you're absolutely right. It affects everybody across the board. You are going to pay more. And that's, you know, you're talking about taxes dead on. That's not talking about other things. You're not talking about things in your area that you pay for. You're not talking about increases you might see that will be passed on to the consumer because of other crippling things that are happening to companies. And I worry. I wonder where it's all going to end up. You're absolutely right. The deficit is out of control, and it doesn't look like there's any end in sight. And where are the big solutions to solving this? You can even see it in Ben Bernanke's just slobbering all over himself. He doesn't know what to say even. I mean, he's at a loss for, they're at a loss for words as to what's going to happen here. It's all negative, yeah.
Well, and you know, Kate, the thing is that typically, and this has been the history of politicians, I guess, and you know, when Republicans been in there, they've cut taxes but run up a deficit. And typically when a Democrat's in there, they raise the taxes.
Yep.
And they don't run up a deficit. But this guy, you know, Mr. Obama, he's going to do both. And,
yeah,
you know, at a time when we're already at such a high amount of national debt, and I don't know. Hey, another thing I got to share with you just real quick. Hey, you know, we got a minute or two. We had this incident in down in West Valley, second largest city in Utah. It's just west of Salt Lake there. And two 15-year-old boys got in an argument, and one of them just reached and pulled out a 6-inch blade and slammed the other one in the heart and killed a 15-year-old kid.
Wow.
And you know what they were arguing over? An iPod.
Oh, that's, you know, the worst.
Yeah, and I'm just shaking my head. There's something we've got to do, Kate. Now, you know, I'm always, you know, Mr. Hardcore when it comes to the education, you know, and, you know, and I talked to you about the driver's license thing. And,
sure.
You know, and the money that we spend on this. But, Kate, there's something going on with this new generation, and I'm noticing it just from listening to kids when I'm in restaurants and stuff and the way they're talking and stuff. And I wonder sometimes, you know, they get into this virtual world and the computers and the video games. And, you know, and I'm starting to wonder if they're actually somewhere along the line, somebody's giving them reality checks, you know, and talking to them and saying, hey, you know, just because you accuse somebody of stealing your iPod, you don't stab them in the heart. I mean, just think, this family just lost their 15-year-old son, football player, you know. Good-looking
kid. Shocking.
Over an iPod.
That's crazy.
Just, you know, and it's just, you know, some reason there's just the beauty and the importance of life. It's just not being taught to this new generation, and we've got to do something about it. And I don't want to blame the media. I don't want to blame all of these things, but it's a problem. So.
All right, John, thanks for the call. Wow, that's the most down I've ever heard Don talking about a couple of different things. Obviously, the worries over the double-dip recession. He's not the only one. A lot of us feel the same way. That's why I was talking about Made in America. We got to go back to that. People got to start manufacturing things, and people have to buy American. It would make a difference. We'll take more on the flip side.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
So you've got your emergency food, water, guns, and ammo, right? What about your paperwork? Your medical and insurance records, legal documents, emergency plans? Keeping and knowing where those vital papers are can really prepare you. That's why you need Prepared Binder, an emergency binder designed to keep all your important documents in one safe place. See Prepared Binder at PreparedBinder.com or call 480-284-1826. Prepared Binder, organized peace of mind.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, tow line, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
If you are concerned about heart health, have heart problems, or know someone who does, this message is for you. LifeWise Naturals introduces HeartWise with citronol, CoQ10, hawthorn, and more. For premium cardiovascular health, just two HeartWise capsules per day provide optimum levels of powerful nutrients to promote cardiovascular energy, healthy blood pressure, circulatory health, and normal cholesterol levels. HeartWise is made with patented ingredients using only research-based potencies of individual nutrients. This exclusive formulation works in multiple ways, providing comprehensive cardiovascular protection. A 30-day supply of HeartWise with citronol and CoQ10 is only $22.50. GCN listeners, order HeartWise now and receive a free bottle of True Pomegranate, one of the most effective superfoods and antioxidants available. Mention product code HEART when you call 800-643-9558, 800-643-9558, or go to freeheartoffer.com. That's freeheartoffer.com today.
Story probably on the day was primetime held hostage. I mean, the president in the Oval Office talking about the end of combat in Iraq. Let's go to Tomas in Michigan. Hello, Tomas.
Hi, Kate.
Hello.
Just typing somebody here on Facebook to give you a call. You know, I don't understand how the the people are letting Obama get away with saying that the troops have finished their combat, you know, mission. I mean, what does he think they're going to be doing now? Just like going around in shorts and flip flops, you know, get a little suntan, maybe you know, dancing salsa at night. Well, I mean, what? They're still going to be armored up, you know, and you know, locked and loaded and armed to the teeth.
You make a good point. I'm going to stop you there for a second. You make a good point because what happens, okay, let's say I'm a soldier, you're right, and we're outside of Baghdad or wherever it is we are, and we're helping Iraqi forces. We're training them. That's supposedly what the new deal is, okay, even though that was already happening. But, okay, we're taking that over. What happens if there's an attack? We don't respond?
Yeah, or, you know, what if we are attacked?
Yeah, there you go.
It's not like, you know, we can just put a little sign saying no terrorists pass this point.
No, you know, can't do that. It won't work.
I mean, and we're not talking about a stable country. It's not like having troops in Germany, you know. These guys haven't even got their government together yet, and it's gone on I don't know how many months now. And it's pretty interesting because one side is led by a secular leader. A guy who's not all into that religion that much. He's almost like one of the, quote, good Muslims, you know, that don't consider stoning women a point of honor or something. His name is Alawi. He was, I think, prime minister for a year or so back in 04 or 05. But he's secular, you know?
He's a secular
Shiite.
Right.
And then the Sunnis are, I guess, on the other side there. But, I just don't understand how people are letting them get away with that. These guys, 50,000, too. We're not talking about 5,000 or a couple hundred.
No, it's 50,000. You're right.
50,000, man. Come on. And then, you know, they're fighting like crazy in Afghanistan. It's like, you know, Obama just took the troops in Iraq and sent them to Afghanistan. It's like people don't, you know, are getting confused by the guy who, you know, puts a little seed down on the table and then has three cups and then moves them around. And then Obama says, where do you think the troops are now? You know, it's unbelievable. So I would expect all these really big lefties out there to give Obama hell. I believe that female on MSN was giving him a little crap, but it was because he said something nice about Bush today. You heard that?
Oh, yeah, I did hear that, yeah. You're talking about Rachel Maddow, and you're right, I saw that.
What's her name, Rachel Maddow?
Rachel Maddow.
Maddow, oh,
yes. Yeah, so you make some good points. I mean, you're right. So what really are the soldiers to do in the certain circumstances that they would be put into? And so really, you know, what's the end of this Iraq situation? We're not saying victory, we're not saying any of that, and yet we're still saying the soldiers are still there, 50,000 of them, yeah.
Right, and how much is it going to cost us, too, you know?
Right, to continue to stay there.
Yeah, to keep 50,000 troops in Iraq. I think they say it's $1 million a year for each troop. So, you know, just put 50,000 and add six zeros on it, and I don't know, that's, what's it, $1 billion or something, or... You know, that's a lot of cash. So
it is a lot of cash. And it's a question, you know, the question you bring up, Tomas, was a good one. Thanks for the call. Is Iraq combat really over for the U.S.? So despite this declaration that this is the end of the combat mission there, combat would probably, and I said this too, most certainly lie ahead. What do you do if chaos ensues? Just turn our back? What do you do? Now that, okay, we've met our responsibilities, but you could certainly debate this. What is the success? This is kind of muddled. Not kind of. It's clear as mud, as my grandfather used to say, that, yes, American troops are leaving behind what? And so here was what was the opening statement. I'm announcing that the American combat mission in Iraq has ended. So there's still thousands of troops that are there. And they're not going to engage with somebody who attacks, and you think of counterterrorism, that that's the continuing mission, okay? So that's a pretty worthy adversary. Lethal, anyway. I don't know if worthy, but pretty lethal. And you've got thousands of special ops forces. You got the Green Berets. You got the Navy SEALs. So what are they trying to do there? They're trying to kill Al-Qaeda. They're trying to murder terrorists. That's what they're trying to do. So they would be working pretty closely with Iraqi forces. Like I said, it's supposedly this training thing. Now, the Prez did say, of course, violence will not end with our combat mission. But he made sure he did not say, he didn't do an account of what was going to happen with the troops. He didn't go into any of that stuff. All right, quickly, let's take our last one here in this hour. Dan in Texas. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Kate. I would like to look forward to our little situation with our game of the week. You know, Thursday night chance to win all the prize.
Yeah, that's when we do Nail the Score, randomly pick the game of the week.
That'll be the 9th, right?
It's Thursday the 9th, the third hour.
Do I call in Thursday or do I call in Wednesday night for Thursday's game?
You call in Wednesday. I know what you're saying. It's confusing with the time zones, isn't it?
Right.
It would really be, you're in the central time zone, so it would really be Wednesday into Thursday. It's early Thursday morning for you, so it's the third hour of
the
show.
Okay. All
so
right.
It would be 1 o'clock, 1:15.
Okay. I'll do that. All right, now to get to the Iraq thing. Personally, you know how I feel about our Muslim brothers, and I think it was a waste of time. I think we should have just used an Air Force attack on Iraq and Saddam Hussein until it was all over, and then go in and pick up the pieces. You figure 24-hour bombing had them on their knees once before, and we could have done the same thing again without wasting one American life.
Yeah, and referring to what happened to in the Gulf, too. Is that what
same
you're
way.
Going back to?
Same
yeah.
way. Absolutely. Same way. And, you know, I don't consider that a viable war. I think it was a disaster as far as 4,000 good American young men and women gone to liberate a country that's not going to stay liberated. They will have influx of Shia from Iran that will totally take it over eventually, and then you've got the Sunnis at Arabia that are going to come in from their side. So you're going to have bloodbath there from now on.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agree with you, Dan. I hate to agree with you, but I'm going to agree with you. I think that's what's going to happen, because you think of the, not to be cynical, but you think of the millions of thousands, not millions, you think of the thousands of years of the violence and the sectarian violence, the separation. So what's to keep this from exploding all over again? And too bad this wasn't like a Gulf situation. Boom, one and done. And then there wasn't that heavy investment of lives, and plus all the cash as well. I'm more concerned about the lives, but certainly the cash, too. When does this all really, truly end? That's the question. When does it end, folks?
Is this a business decision, or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.